What's up, everybody? It's John Morgan. Listen, I want to come to y'all and tell y'all right now where you can go and get your LYP merch, www.lypp.org. That's where you can get all the fly crew necks like the one I got on right now. You're going to get your hoodies, your hats, any type of product that we selling at LYP. You have to go to the website to get it. You can't go to Amazon or no third-party company to get our products. You got to go to www.lypp.org right now to get all of this latest stuff LYP. You can also get information on the pod, new information on the episodes that we got dropping, anything LYP related. Go to that website right now, lypp.org. Peace. We came back to let you know, goddamn. That's right. My friends wonder what is wrong with me. But I'm in a daze from your love, you see. I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let go. Rest in peace to Bobby Caldwell. Gonna get started real soon. Rest in peace to Bobby Caldwell again. Let's rock. For the lovers, we back. Feeling good. Sun shining, finally. Still only like 48 outside, but the sun is still shining. We're gonna take it. All right, so all 2023, y'all got my own personal mission to call out all hate in 2023. Any type of hate, we're gonna call out in 2023, which means that I'm gonna start by doing that in songs. Some of our most famous and classic songs, I gotta call out, like, wait a minute. The older I get, I'm like, wait a minute. They was hating a little bit in this record. It was a lot of hate going on. And this record right here, oh, so amazing. But Joe was hating. He was hating so bad in this. But it's a beautiful record, though.
It's kind of funny, but I don't think you have to look no further.
Look, he came on the record.
Because I'm right here.
You don't gotta look no further. I'm right here. She got a man, Joe.
Tell me what kind of man would treat this woman so
cold.
Treat you like you're nothing when you're worth more than gold.
My goodness.
Girl, to me, you're like a diamond. I love the way you shine. $100 million treasure, I'd give the world to make you mine. La, 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 la. I'll put a string of pearls right in your hand. Make love on a beach of jet black sand. Outside of the rain, we can do it all night. I'll touch all the places he would not. And some he never knew would get you hot. Nothing is forbidden when we touch. Baby, I wanna do all of the things you men won't do.
When he get into the second verse, that's when he really go. He just loses his mind with this hate just coming out of his. He just go. He goes crazy. He goes crazy. Beautiful record though. Listen to this. First line. On a yacht. You just can't lose. One, two. All right, come on now, Joe. Come on now, Joe. What good is a diamond? Nobody can see. Look how we ended, though. I hear it get to what you got? Down, but I got the master key. No, for real. We can't let Joe get away with that, man. That ain't cool, Joe. That's not cool. He telling dudes, girls, he got the master key. Come on, man. This work. A lot of dudes lost their girl to this song. And then he just talk crazy again at the end. Look. Till you hear the mama scream. Come on, Joe. Come on, man. Come on, man. Listen. Beautiful record. Shout out to Joe. Beautiful record. I love that song. So many memories to that song, but it's hate. You gotta call it out, man. Joe was tripping. You know, he left it all out there on the in the worlds of artistic expression, but he was hating, man. You can't talk to somebody's significant other like that, Joe. That's kind of crazy. But welcome everybody to another episode of For the Lovers. I'm your host, John Morgan Jr., joined by my my wonderful co-host, the magnificent, and my son's favorite word, fantastic, Dr. Tania Lies. You know, this is a podcast and a show where we have great dialogue and conversations over relationships, you know, how to maintain, improve, and maintain healthy relationships, not only with your significant others and your spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, husband, but also with your children, your families. It's all about the value of healthy relationships all around the board. Friendships, business, working relationships, you know, and when the more and more we get to breaking down the essential parts of relationships, they all kind of function based off of a lot of the same principles, right? And they all, you know, can serve each other, you know what I'm saying? We really get to breaking it down. And a lot of times they're always impacted due to some of the same reasons. So we kind of, you know, take a deep dive into those things through dialogue from y'all, from the audience. So when you guys send us in questions and, you know, topics you want us to discuss, we try our best to go there and give you some perspective. And as well as just, you know, doing some general things around relationships as a whole. So it feels good to be back. Like I said, it is sunshine outside. It feels good. Mm-hmm. You know, I can feel spring in the air, you know, and I'm one of them people that, like, when it get warm, you know, I run right to the sun. I'm trying to get brown. You know, I'm trying to, you know, get some color, you know what I'm saying? Get my melanin shining and all of that. So it feels good to have the sun shining on this beautiful Tuesday. Dr. T, how are you?
Hey, I'm wonderful.
How you feel?
I'm excited to get back to it.
Yeah.
Yes. Encouraged, empowered. So I'm good.
Tell me what's your we talked a little bit about this. Like, what's the response been for, you know, people hitting you up and just checking in with you, you know, following you from being on here and just doing these conversations, doing these talks? What's the response from the people been for you?
Oh, yes. A lot of love, a lot of interest.
Yeah, yeah.
So I appreciate it. But I also just really want to just acknowledge, like, that's work to reach out and
yes,
try to get connected and, you know, try to figure out what's going on with self and self in connection with others. Like, it's a huge thing.
Right.
So the response of people reaching out and wanting to hear more, learn more, and take that journey is so empowering.
Yeah.
So much appreciation and love for that.
Yo, that's so real. That's such a big thing. And then, like, the in the healing part and then just getting help, period. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It takes a lot of work to do the follow up. It's one thing to take in the information.
That's right.
And it's another step and another part of it to, you know, actually take some action behind it and reach out, you know, and do the legwork that it takes to really get connected take your next steps towards healing. That's very, very real. See, that's why we got you here, Dr. T, because you make the most simple things, you know, we highlight them and show the importance and the value of them. So that's important. So we got like with a full list of stuff that we want that I want to go on. I kind of went through the list of what we gonna talk about today, but I'm gonna kind of jump around. You know, I'm just kind of do it randomly. But I do want to start with a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about in our last previous episodes, for sure, all across the board. Make sure y'all check out all the episodes that's available. But specifically, like the last two, if I'm not mistaken, it's been a big highlight on vulnerability, right? You know, especially from the fellas. Like, you know, one thing that I noticed when the dudes, when they tap in, you know, they always ask for, like, the breakdowns and the, you know, the examples of, you know, all right, I get vulnerability in theory, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? I get what that means to show up and be open,
mm-hmm.
but maybe the way that I'm doing it, you know, my partner isn't always like that. Maybe I think that I'm being vulnerable, but that's not vulnerability. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. Give me some examples or some ideas of what, you know, what showing up and being vulnerable looks like. You know, what does that, how can you tell when somebody is being vulnerable and you can feel that? What is an example of that? What does that
Absolutely.
Look like?
Absolutely. So first, I'm going to say that vulnerability is showing your authentic self.
Right.
So all your guards are down. You're not defensive. You don't feel shame or embarrassment or anything like that. So that's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that gets in the way of you being able to express a true emotion, show a true emotion. Vulnerability could look like crying. Mm-hmm. It could look like talking about the most sensitive or things that you might consider to be shameful or hurtful or any negative connotation. But being open to have that conversation and expose it is you being vulnerable. Because when you're vulnerable, you risk judgment, criticism, or rejection from your people.
Right.
So you take the risk and say, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm going to give you my authentic self. These are my authentic thoughts, uncut, unfiltered, my unfiltered emotions. These are my experiences. That's how you create vulnerability in a way that is going to be genuine and well received.
Yeah, no, that's good. I like that. What's the line between showing up and being vulnerable and putting yourself out there and kind of like setting yourself up for failure? So sure, you know, I want to show up and be open. I want to show up and, you know, be my most genuine, authentic self, my true self. I want to show up no matter what the response is going to be, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But what if somebody has been showing me up to the point like they're not being receptive to my vulnerability, and I just keep kind of crossing that line of like, fuck it, you know, I'm gonna show up and do that anyway. Is there a line, you know, that we got to be mindful of?
Absolutely. And it has to be protective. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's going to be an adverse reaction.
Right.
And so you have to feel safe. So you have to be in a situation where there's safety.
Mm-hmm.
If that safety net isn't there, you might dibble and dabble in vulnerability, but you're not going to get to where you need to get to for that outcome. So that's the important thing. And you can't be vulnerable with everyone.
Yeah.
You can't.
Doesn't our brain let us know when we are and when we are not safe?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it tells us in moments when we, you know what I'm saying? Like, emotional safety. You know, obviously, I think we can all kind of discern when there's physical, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. safety on the, you know what I'm saying, on the rise or whatnot. But emotional safety, our brain and our body tells us when we either are or are not safe.
That's correct.
You know what I'm saying? That's we have correct. Responses, physical responses that tell us like, oh no, I can show up right now.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
And we have to pay attention to that.
Yes, yes, yes.
We have to pay attention to that because it means something.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest piece for me is safety. When I think about times when I've, you know, been like really honest,
mm-hmm.
and not only honest about where I was, but even honesty about, you know, how I felt about a situation, mm-hmm. what somebody may have done to me to hurt my feelings or whatever, mm-hmm. or, you know what I'm saying, just pissed me off or just made me feel the type of way.
Mm-hmm.
When I felt safe in those moments, it's helped me communicate what my feelings are, my needs, my wants, and also, you know, some solutions, you know. And here's a piece too about being safety in my experience. When you feel safe, it's a little bit more easier to hold yourself accountable, right? You know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
right.
If I know that this is a safe space for me to be able to show up and tell you, like, all right, mm-hmm. this is what concerns me or whatever, then I'm gonna be a little bit more receptive to say, you know what? I know I was tripping on how I said that too, and I know that don't work for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? How can we do that better? Or how can I do that better that makes, you know, make this worse for both of us? So that's the big thing for safety for me, is that I think about, all right, I'm willing to be more accountable to myself when I'm safe as well.
That's right. Another point too that you raised, John, that I think is important when we're talking about what does vulnerability look like? It's in the words you choose or select to express yourself. We are socialized and conditioned to use words like anger and mad and feel some kind of way and things like that, which, you know, is ambiguous or it's not always 100% accurate. So using words like that hurt me,
right,
that disappointed me, I felt embarrassed, I felt shamed, I felt, you know, some guilt, being able to name those more sensitive emotions that we're unwilling to attach to puts you in a space of vulnerability. So that's another important thing to consider, is how are we defining these emotions and experiences that we're having?
Yeah. Because that keeps us like, it keeps us from internalizing them and like, you know, personalizing a lot of the experiences.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's one of the key factors too when it relates to vulnerability. Yeah, man. Show up and be yourself, you know?
Because it's a fine line. That's also an excellent point. It's a very fine line of being able to say, this is what I experience and this is what I feel, but it's not who I am.
It's not who I am. Right.
And again, that takes a lot of mental work and training and preparation to be able to do that. But because we're not, again, socialized to do that, we disconnect from those kinds of emotions because we don't want to associate with that being who we are.
Right, exactly.
And so it blocks the whole vulnerability process.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. So even when I hear that, you know, there's a vulnerability side that goes into not just communicating, you know, your vulnerability, but like taking in the information in vulnerability and listening from a vulnerable space as well.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's not just a person who's communicating what the needs is. No, I need you to be open to like receiving what I'm saying in this moment, to be vulnerable, to listen and to understand that, no, I'm not attacking you. This is how I feel. This is what I believe happened, but I'm not coming at your character.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's a two-way street. Vulnerability, it's a safe
conversation.
Space.
Courageous healing conversations.
I like that. Courageous healing conversations. Okay, let's go here. Okay, so this is one of the ones that I've been feeling like a lot of people have been tapping in with as well, as is the idea of family dynamics, friendships, you know, and you know, feeling obligated to your relationships with your blood family because they are your blood family, you know, and sometimes that keeps people from even like seeking out other relationships, or it keeps people, you know, in a box of like, understand like, no, this is my family, you know, cause we related by blood. Everybody else kind of falls into friends, associates, you know, just people that I rock with type of thing. But this right here is my family. And, you know, listen, I like to always speak from my own experiences. You know, I know that the way that I was raised and the way that I was groomed and the way that I was taught to believe is that, you know, your family and your blood, that's a different level of like, you know, commitment. And like, you know, that's a different level of responsibility. Your blood family, you ride and die and like, you know what I'm saying? You fight with them. You know what I'm saying? Like you go, if one of y'all go, all y'all go. You know what I'm saying? Type of thing. While I think there's a lot of value in that, I also, you know, can speak to like, but sometimes that has gotten me into trouble, right? You know what I'm saying? That's gotten me into trouble from the standpoint of like, I'll let things slide that I wouldn't let slide with other people all for the sake of being blood family. You know what I'm saying? And it may be at a detriment to me. You know, I know that I'm keeping some information that could be beneficial to all of us, but I'm doing it out of sake of like, I'm holding it down for my family. You know what I'm saying? My blood. Or I may not say nothing because this is my blood relatives or whatnot. And that's something that a lot of people have kind of been following up. So like, where you stand on, relationships with people who are not your blood family, and just like, you know, where's the benefits of that? Where's the, you know, how can that be detrimental? Where you stand on that? Where you see that?
Yeah, and there are different layers and levels and maybe even categories of how we are in relationship. And here's the thing. Yes, when we grew up in our families, especially culturally speaking,
right,
that saying is very pronounced for me. Blood is thicker than water.
That's a fact.
Like that is embedded in us.
That statement is a fact.
Us.
I don't know if that is that true. Blood is thicker than water, but yeah, whatever. Neither here nor there.
Go ahead. Something that, you know, culturally has been really instilled in us and in me specifically. But here's the thing. We do choose how we show up in our relationships. And whatever our principles and values are related to these relationships should be consistent when you choose to have people in your life.
Right.
So when you choose to have your blood relatives in your life, for whatever those reasons are, you have a set of values and principles that coincides with that.
Right.
When you go out and you meet people and you decide like, oh, you know, we could be best friends or, right. you know, we can be lovers or partners or whatever the case might be. There's a set of values and principles that should also be consistent with that.
Right.
And I think the challenge is we don't pay enough attention to that.
Right.
And that things get blurred or disconnected and now we don't know. And so we fall on what we've been socialized to believe.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite is also true. Sometimes there has been so much hurt and pain and damage that has happened between blood relatives
mm-hmm.
that people gravitate out to outside relationships or relationships that are not of blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, based on what kind of experiences we have, whether we experience, you know, hate, damage, you know, abuse outside of our blood relatives or within our blood relatives, when we decide that this is somebody who I want in my circle, this is somebody who I want to feel connected to, this is a relationship that I want to foster, these are the values and principles that are consistent with that. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is the missing link. I think that we can answer that question differently based on people's different experiences and contexts. But the bottom line and the takeaway is what I want us to understand is when I decide that I'm riding with this person, what does that look like? What are my values and principles? And how is that consistent with how I ride with my blood relatives? Because again, it should, why would it be different?
Right.
We're talking about relationships connecting.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I remember, it's funny, the older I get, you know, it's like, it's so cliche what everybody said, but the older you get, you know, you really get to see that a lot of stuff that your parents would say really starts to make sense. Mm-hmm. Right. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I remember like, especially for my mother, you know, my mom was not the best overall communicator. You know what I'm saying? Like she knew one way to communicate more times than not,
mm-hmm.
but her intentions and her love was always rooted in the center of it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And one of the things that she would always tell me is like, yo, I don't care if they are your cousins or your blood relatives. You can't spend this type of time with them. You can't go over there during that type of time or like, you know, I know what they be on.
Mm-hmm.
Or she would say stuff like, they not on the same stuff you on. Mm-hmm. They don't think the same way you think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially what she was saying is that like, y'all related and there's love there. It's okay for you to love them and for, you know, for y'all to rock. But there has to be some level of boundary there because
right.
y'all don't value the same thing.
That's right.
And like, you know, what they put value on, it's different than what you put value on and what they put in value on. That may lead you into some trouble that you can't really see.
That's right.
But I can see the big picture. So I'm going to shield you from that.
That's
you know
right.
what I'm saying? Yep. And that's essentially what we're talking about is like, yeah, if we don't share the same like, yeah, rules and guidelines on how to go through life,
mm-hmm.
then it don't matter what our relation is, you know, blood, co-workers,
doesn't
you know what I'm
matter.
Saying? It don't matter. If we don't see it the same, if we don't hold ourselves to the same type of standards, and that's gonna look different.
That's
right. You know what I'm saying? We don't wanna be so rigid and so like, you know what I'm saying, like black and white thinking that like, okay, if you don't do it the way that I do it, mm-hmm. then we out there. We don't want to be on that.
Right.
Of course, things are going to look different,
mm-hmm.
but values and principles.
These values and principles. They
don't change.
Consistent.
They don't, yes. they're pretty much, you know, consistent
yep.
on like, you know, how a person kind of goes about their business.
Right. Because we pick and choose our friends.
Yes.
Like, we can't pick and choose our family.
Right.
But whatever those values and principles are, they should translate over.
Right.
And vice versa.
Right.
So if these are the kind of friends and people you want to bring into your world, bring into your family, whatever those values and principles are should also be consistent with what's happening within your bloodline.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And I know somebody out there is listening to this and they hearing it like, well, I thought you don't cut off your family. I thought you don't cut off your day ones. And it's like, well, that's not what we're saying. This is an important time to be able to understand, okay, this is how you really set up your boundaries.
That's
you know,
right.
This is how you exercise your boundaries, you know.
Boundaries.
It's not about cutting people off. It's not about, you know, leaving people alone completely or anything like that. It's about understanding that, yeah, me and this person don't align in how we see things. We don't align in how we see the world or how we go about our day to day. And that's cool, you know, and since that's the case, let me set up how I spend time with this person or how I show up and talk to this person.
That's right.
Which are boundaries and how I have relationships with these people. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So there's a difference between boundaries and, you know,
And cutting people off.
Very, very, very true. All right, so that takes us to this, right? Friends with your children. Is that a good thing or bad thing? And I'm thinking, like, let's put a little bit of context to this.
Okay.
So let's say you got a kid that's 12, right? Preteen, going into teenage years real soon, getting a little older. You kind of, the personality is there. They start to really, you know, assert their independence. Like, they have their own beliefs that they, you know, that they understand and whatnot. And they're at a very vulnerable state and, like, all right, if you're not careful with them 12-year-olds, like, they can either be very open with you and share a lot of information with you, or they can go to solitude and not share anything with you and, you know, find that safety in other spaces, right? So it's a very tricky line in that age group. Friends, good or bad? should you be friends with your 12-year-old?
So let me say,
and I think this is a super important conversation for Black folks.
Absolutely.
This is a big one for us.
Let me start here. At a very basic level of understanding, when you hear the word friend, is that positive or negative?
That's positive.
It's positive.
Right.
Even when we think about when we meet our spouse, we want to be friends first.
Yes.
Right? So friendship is a foundational thing.
Right.
It's important.
Right.
And it should not be considered a negative thing, or we use it, especially us as Black folks, we use it negatively to talk about a parenting style. But friendship, at a very basic understanding, is a positive thing. It speaks to the kind of relationship. It doesn't mean that you are being an ineffective parent or not being a parent, but you are creating space and energy within your child that's going to allow them to be more open and forthcoming. It's going to be hard to hear. And even if, you know, your child, you know, starts to smell himself and get disrespectful and things like that, you still check it.
Right.
What happens when your friend disrespectful? Right. Or we check it.
Right. Yeah.
So again, it comes down to this whole consistency thing. But when we think about our friends and how we interact with our friends, whether it's a friendship that leads into a romantic relationship, whether it's, you know, our friendships and our best friends, that same should apply to our kids.
Right. Right.
We're talking about raising positive, healthy, and promoting a sense of growth and development that they're going to be able to thrive in life.
Right.
But we have, and again, that's an enslavement mentality. You got to stay in a child's place. Your voice isn't heard. Your opinions and feelings doesn't matter. When they 18 and it's too late.
Right.
So we have to be able to cultivate these kind of relationships with our kids where they can be open and honest and forthcoming and revealing, because that's the way that we're going to be able to navigate and guide them on the right path. And that is being a friend. Right. It doesn't mean, and here's the either or to it, John. Sometimes we think that if you're a friend, you're not being a parent.
Right.
It's both and.
Right.
It's both and. Right. So I'm a friend to my children. I want them to know that because I want them to feel safe and comfortable to come to me. If anything go down, I don't care what it is, I'm your first go-to because I'm going to be the one. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm also going to be your parent.
Right.
So after we get through whatever it is, now I'm going to tell you something about it.
Right.
So it's both and.
Right.
It's definitely not a negative thing to be a friend to your child. In fact, our kids need that.
Right.
I would argue they need that more now than ever.
And see, that to me, everything I just heard you say takes us back to how we started it off about vulnerability.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like setting that stage, a foundation of vulnerability with your child and showing them both sides. Like, yo, we can kick it and have fun. And like, you know, this could be a safe space for you to express yourself, mm-hmm. show up as your true self.
That's right. Right?
You know what I'm saying?
That's
which right. is you, you know, learning how to be vulnerable.
That's right.
And me learning how to be vulnerable and allowing you to show up that way and receiving it and hearing that. Right? You know what I'm saying? And I can also take that in and give that back and say, all right, yeah, I understand. I hear you, mm-hmm. you know, but let's consider this over here. Or, you know, yeah, they may assert themselves in a way that's like they going off and they, you know, they talking mm-hmm. to you crazy. Mm-hmm. You can feel that way, but you don't got to talk to me like that.
Yeah,
like,
why
are we talking to each other like that? What makes you think that that's okay to talk to me in that way type of thing? So yeah, that's a beautiful example of, you know, of how I hear that, you know, is.
And guess what happens after that, John?
What's
we
that?
Do that, then that's going to translate in their adult relationships.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we have now taught our kids
yeah.
how to show up in that vulnerability.
And it's whack to like, it's super whack and lame to expect like a certain age for you to begin to do these things. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's whack that you an adult at 18, so now we can be friends. Like, it don't even work like that. You know what I'm saying? It don't even, at 18, I don't trust you. I know who I trust
right.
now. You know what I'm saying? I'm not on that. You know, we no longer in that space. So, mm-hmm. you know, how we gonna get down like that? So that's super whack.
Mm-hmm.
So let's extend that a little bit.
Okay.
What about the idea of keeping things from your children, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because we want to be a part of being a friend and having friendship is being vulnerable, sharing, like being honest,
mm-hmm.
you know. That's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that comes with good friendships is when you are friends with somebody, even if you don't tell them, people can feel when something is off. My theory in that, you know, as it relates to being friends with your kids and hiding things from your kids, I mean, your kid knows when something going on.
Absolutely.
So like the whole idea of I'm keeping it from my kid, they don't feel it. They may didn't hear you say it. But they can feel something different in you.
Absolutely.
So they know something is different. You know
absolutely.
What I'm saying? So that's my theory on that. Where do you stand with like hiding stuff or keeping things from your kids?
Yeah. We think that we're hiding and keeping things from them. But then when our kids are adults, they will run it all down
right. And
be very accurate
right. In
their experience. And then as parents, we're shocked.
Right.
Because I didn't, or I tried to shield you from that, or I didn't say that, or I didn't show you that.
Right.
So the thing is this, I think that sharing and being open, even when parents are struggling, is appropriate. I do think it has to be age and developmentally appropriate. Like mm-hmm. you sharing with a 5-year-old mm-hmm. who doesn't have the capacity to understand what's really going on is different.
Yes.
But when our kids are of a certain age and they have the mental capacity to understand, we are being role models
yes. To
them
yes.
in terms of how they communicate and express how they're feeling about the experiences that they are having. So
mm-hmm.
absolutely,
mm-hmm.
that sharing is critical. It's critical to the development of our kids. The one thing that I will caution against is making sure that it's developmentally and age appropriate.
All right, I gotta give an example of this, right?
Perfect.
So let's give an example. All right, so I'm gonna give two. All right, so let's say hypothetically, same age, kids 12, 13, whatever, around that same age. Or even younger, whatever. The age really don't matter. Well, no, the age does matter. So let's say 12, 13.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you have lost your place of employment, mm-hmm. right? Not in the best financial position. You don't know where your income is about to come from, but you know you're out of a job. You know, you paying for tuition at this school for your kid to attend this school, paying for your kid and do all these activities.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you communicate with your child?
When it's no longer an option?
What you mean?
Meaning like I lost my job, so I can't continue to pay for these things.
Well, you're about to be immediately impacted. You can still pay for the time being, but you about to be, you got to find another job. You, like I said, you may not be in the best financial position, so you maybe not have a lot of savings. Your income is hit immediately, so you're going to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So in that situation.
So here's my response to that, and it's a question.
Yes.
It's, what's wrong with being open and honest about that? Now, and it's a rhetorical question, mm-hmm. that I want us to just kind of reflect on and think about, because and that's with anything, because if you evaluate it and you think it's going to be harmful in the situation, like your child is extremely anxious or might freak out or might start underperforming.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know that it's directly going to impact your child negatively, then I'm going to say, okay, then maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not, and it enhances the relationship between the parent and the child then, you know, gets some understanding about life,
mm-hmm.
and how their parent is navigating life, that is helpful. But if you have a child who could be sensitive to vulnerabilities like that, then you want to be protective from that standpoint. But for me, I'm like, why wouldn't your child is going to know anyway? Because you're going to be anxious, irritable,
right.
short,
right.
get out of my face, right. getting on my nerves. And then your child internalizes that to feel like they did something wrong or something is wrong with them. So yeah. why not say, hey, you know what? I'm stressed. I'm sorry. I got this. I got that. We working it out. Don't worry, but we're working it out.
Yeah.
It's a level of communication and transparency that, again, that our kids can learn from when we're taking that avenue as parents.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I always fall on the side of be honest with children.
Yeah.
Period. Point blank. Period. One of the things that I know that I got from my father, and like, you know, one thing that he modeled for me, sometimes a little too far because he was just raw and unfiltered, but he was always honest,
mm-hmm.
right? And for me, I was able to receive a lot of the information he said, and like, it not only kept me from like judging him less,
mm-hmm.
but like, I fuck with him more because of that. You know what I'm saying? I respected him more for, you know, not lying to my face. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So now to this day, I can be honest with him. He can be honest with me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Despite, you know, over the years, we haven't always been so close. You know what I'm saying? Or just haven't always spent that much time. But now as adults,
mm-hmm.
we are able to build a different form and a different type of relationship because we do have some level of foundation of honesty.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That's mm-hmm. one thing that I can associate with our relationship. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It may not always been present,
mm-hmm.
but we have the honesty there. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just a firm believer, like, man, tell your kids the truth, yo.
Tell them the
truth. They be knowing. Kids are way smarter and way more intelligent than we think. Like, yep. you know what I'm saying? Be honest with your kids. Don't set up no idea, no foundation with your kids of like keeping stuff from them. I'm just, I just believe in that, mm-hmm. period. I think people gonna respect you more, mm-hmm. specifically children will respect you more, and they will grow up to understand that, like, just being a little bit less critical and judgmental when they mama and they daddy told them the real.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? They're not gonna care so much about the stuff outside when they know they got the real
that's
right at home.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? They're not gonna right. be so bothered by the BS or somebody projecting or saying stuff that they know is not true.
It helps
when they know the
real.
It
helps them more than it hurts.
So
them.
I'm a huge believer in that. All right, so I started it off by listening to that beautiful record by Joe,
uh-huh.
About calling out all the hate in 2023. I'm on a personal journey of just like, you know, learning to not internalize things so much, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that shows up as blocking other people's projections and passive aggressiveness, mm-hmm. right? So that's my whole idea and model of calling out the hate. A lot of times, hate shows up in jokes,
mm-hmm.
passive aggressiveness,
oh, yes.
projections, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? People mm-hmm. saying stuff to you, they're trying to be funny, but they really slick hating,
mm-hmm.
you know, or they, you know, they is, you can, I'm a big believer that, that happens more times than we like to give credit to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm being funny, but I'm being serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I seen something today. I seen a post today that made me think about that.
Okay.
And it talked about sympathizing with people even when they make bad decisions. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking, I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting. Is there what's the difference in that? What's the difference in sympathizing with people when you know they've made poor decisions, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because you tried to help them, you tried to, you know, give them some advice, you tried to give them some words of encouragement, some wisdom, you tried to tell them the truth, and they look at you like you hating, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Because you may not want to see them flourish, or you shitting on their dreams, or you shitting on them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that's an interesting dynamic. So what do you think the difference is, and like where you stand on learning to have sympathy for people when they may historically have made some bad decisions? They made bad decisions. Now they coming to you and telling you they sob story, for lack of better words. Like, you know, they coming to you complaining now about the relationship you told them not to entertain. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? What do you do when in situations like that?
Yeah. And so I'm like, well, what is wrong with that? If we truly believe in the experience we have, whether they're tough, rewarding, challenged, negative, positive, it's an opportunity to learn.
Yeah.
So even if you gave me some advice or steered me on a certain path and I got off that path and did something that either hurt me or made me more successful, what is wrong with you being able to see that as my learning and growth experience? And that's how we have to look at it. We all are here. We all have our purpose. We all have our life mission, our life agenda. We're going to do things that is going to create success for us. We're going to do things that's going to knock us off of that. As people, as loved ones, as affiliates of each other, it is our job to have empathy and understand that it's a process of learning and growing.
Right.
And if we all look at it that way, John, this will be a non-conversation.
Right.
But so you learned, okay. You learned. What did you learn from that?
Yeah.
How did you grow from that? How can you learn from that? How can you grow from that?
Let me tell you my theory on it. So my theory on it is I think a lot of us have a hard time sitting in like the weight of of hard emotions. Like mm-hmm. I think it's really hard for us to sit in like sadness.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's really hard for us to sit in like, you know, just feeling bad about something. Like it's hard for us to hear people that we love and that we care about aren't doing good. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's hard for us to sit in mm-hmm. situations where we made a decision that it didn't turn out the best that we thought. You know, it's hard for us to face our fears on things because like sitting in the possible disappointment of what that would look like, it's going to be too much to bear. You know, we begin to like overreact and make these stories up in our head. But I still think that it comes back to the root and the weight of sitting in the emotions.
Absolutely.
That come with all of this. So even, you know, taking it back to like the projection and the hate.
Yeah.
Like when you really get to the bottom of them jokes and stuff, bro, what's going on? You all right? You know what I'm saying?
Like, you okay?
Yeah, you
that's
okay?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What's up, man? Yeah. Like, you know yep. what I'm saying? Like that's your third little joke that you try to be funny about. What's up, man? Yeah, like what's up, man? It ain't even funny like that. You know what I'm saying? You could have just gave me a compliment instead of, you know, doing that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it will even show up in a variety of different ways, but I still think that it goes back to what are you feeling?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? What is going on with you internally
What's being triggered for you?
Yes, what is being triggered in you right now? And yep. I think a lot of times that's like the biggest part of it is that, man, we have a hard time just sitting in the depths of our emotional state.
Oh, absolutely. That's how we open the conversation. Vulnerability.
Hey, round of applause for us.
Yeah.
Round of applause for us.
Yeah.
That's how you record. You finish the way that you bring people back home to the start right there. You know what I'm saying? That's how you do a full circle, full vulnerability. Yes, man. That's what it's all about, man. You have to, in any relationship capacity, I don't care if it's your spouse, your husband, your wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other, y'all dating, your friends, your family, your parents, your children.
That's right.
Vulnerability. Honesty, you know, showing up as your true self, being real, you know, not really, you know, putting so much stock into what could be or what they're going to think of me. You know
That's
what I'm
right.
saying? Yep. Live, man. Yep. You know, live and be honest about where you are.
That's
you know what
right.
I mean? It's going to build more than it's going to, you know, it's going to build over time even longer than the hurt is going to feel in that moment.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So
healthy relationships.
Bingo, full circle. Let's give it up for one more time, man. Another round of applause, you know, for Dr. T and myself. And again, man, for the lovers, you can always find us on any place that you can find your podcast available, Apple, Spotify, Anchor. You know, we are available on all the audio. A lot of times we put out the video clips on the YouTube page, as well as the Patreon page as well. So y'all go to Live Your Purpose Media to subscribe and be a subscriber on the YouTube page as well as the Patreon. And send us in y'all questions, man. Send us in y'all topics that y'all want to see us really, you know, go deep on. Because y'all always hit me way too late. Like, John, I ain't get my question in. I ain't know what the, I ain't da 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 da. Hit me up ahead of time, man. We'll be sure to, you know, touch base on as many of the questions and conversations as we can. So another episode. Dr. T, thank you so much again. Appreciate you as always. Another episode, y'all. Peace. Call out all the hate. 2023.